morning or something. Sedated. That was good singing. Amen. Yep, go ahead, buddy. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Matt. Thank you for your testimony. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. 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 Oh, yeah. God bless you, Brother Marty. Right. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Brother Marty. Last Sunday night, if you were here, we preached on church dwellers and out of Psalms 84. And the Bible said, they that dwell in the house of the Lord, they will still be praising Him. And his daughter went to heaven 2 years ago, but he's still praising Him. Amen. Amen. Don't mean it ain't rough, it ain't tough, it ain't hard. Of course it is. But he's still praising the Lord. Amen. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for worshiping the Lord. We didn't come down here for them to entertain you. I didn't come down here to amuse you, amaze you, either one. We just come down here to worship the Lord. And we've been praying God get us ready for this upcoming Jubilee. I always pray about 2 months ahead of time, because we don't want a bunch of folks coming in here, an old backslidden pastor and a bunch of old backslidden people, old cold dead church. We want this thing to be alive all the time, but we especially want to be alive when they get here. Amen. Amen. James 5. James 5 this morning. James 5. And I'm not done with faith yet, but I had two messages on my heart this morning. So I used my old rule of thumb. Years ago, I was up in my office, had a couple of messages about service time, complaining to God. Said, God, the only thing worse than not having no message, I have two. And I said, I hate this, not knowing which one to preach. And it seemed like immediately the Holy Spirit impressed upon me and said, which one's got the most about Jesus in it? And so ever since then, I've used that as a rule of thumb. And sometimes you preach messages, ain't neither one of them got much about Jesus in them, and preaching on different things, but not the case today. James 5, verse 1, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton, Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doeth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Thank you. Be seated. Father, we thank you for the good presence. Thank you for the heartfelt testimonies, spirit-filled testimonies. Had something to say. And thank you, Father. Thank you for the good singing, the songs that was selected. Thank you for the choir, Sunday school, teachers that studied, prayed, got something to give you. God, as we come this morning, I come with this, Lord, this little thought on my mind this morning. And Lord, I bring it to you. And I pray you'll help me get started in it. Lord, help me to know when I've been in it long enough and help me to get stopped. I pray, God, you'll do something with it today. Lord, if there's people here today that don't know they're saved, they think they are, they would say they are, but really in the wee hours of the night, they wonder, am I really saved? Lord, help them to get that know-so salvation, that assurance from the Word of God. And Lord, I pray today for all of us, Lord, to move up closer today. And Lord, just help me today. I bring what I got, which ain't much, but I bring what I got to you. And I feel like the boy with, Lord, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But Lord, if I can get it in your hands, you can hand it back to me and it'll be enough to feed everybody sufficient. Help us, Lord, I pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. The Bible says, James is talking about them rich men. That probably don't affect none of us here this morning. Probably not. But he talks about their miseries in verse 1. Talks about their miseries in verse 1. They got them coming. Oh, they're not misery now. But the Bible said it's coming. Talks about these moth-eaten garments. You know how a moth works. A moth, you don't know he's there and you don't know what he's done until it's too late. And that's the way these folks are. They don't realize what's going on yet and don't understand it. He talked about their money, that they had heaped up treasures together for the last days. Verse 3. Verse 4 and 5, he talks about their mistreatment of those laborers like we have today. Child labor in China. People mistreated. That's all coming to a halt one of these days. And but then he gets down here to where I want to go today, and he talks about, I just want to lift that phrase up, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Jesus' coming is drawing near. Of course, when he comes, it'll affect everybody. But how it's going to affect everybody depends on what class or category that you find yourself in. Maybe you'll be like those people over there. Peter wrote about in 2 Peter chapter 3, and Peter said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Somebody said the job of a preacher is to constantly remind people of what they're constantly forgetting. And we have a way, a spiritual Alzheimer's. The devil races it out of our mind. And he said, I want to stir you up that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. And so we have the Lord's comings drawing nigh. And there are those scoffers that doubt His coming. It said the scoffers would appear in the last days. There's more scoffers now than there ever has been. And these scoffers, they doubt His coming. They doubt if the Lord is even going to come again. Let's be honest this morning. If it were not for the Scriptures and the Word of God, we might find our flesh questioning that very thing. Is the Lord coming? But I know He is. And you see, there's a difference between doubting and delaying. You see, these scoffers, they doubt whether the Lord's going to come. But that evil servant, he wasn't doubting he was going to come in Matthew 24. He just was saying he's delayed his coming. There's a difference between doubt and delay. The Bible said these scoffers would doubt his coming. Why did they do that? Well, the longer we go from the time it was promised, the more scoffers appear on the scene. Because these people knew the promise. The Bible said, they said, where is the promise of His coming? They knew the promise. They knew that He was promised to come. But because it had been so long, they began to doubt whether or not the Lord was even going to come at all. We know this morning that they were presently blinded. They were blinded to the present condition. They said in verse 4, all things continue as they were. You'd have to be a blind man to think that all things continue as they were. Hardly anything is like it was. But you see, they had blinded themselves to present conditions. Isn't it amazing how we live in a time when there's so many signs pointing to the Lord's coming, and yet there's little preaching about it. Nobody preaches about it much anymore. And to be honest, a lot of us don't think about it anymore like we ought to. Amen. But the Bible said that they were blinded. Well, when I pick up the paper, I get the Ethnic Times. I like that paper. And I get that, and I get it every week, and I read in it, and somebody else had picked that up and read it, and they're thinking about, you know, worldly things. But when I pick that up and I read the topics, it's like it's preaching to me saying He's coming. The signs are all there. The coming of the Lord, it draweth nigh. And then the Bible speaks of their personal willful ignorance. The Bible said, for this they are willingly ignorant. In other words, they don't want to know no different. B.R. Lakin said years ago, he said, you might have been born ignorant, but God knows there ain't no reason to stay that way. And I want you to know, listen this morning, that that book right there, unless you're willfully want to be ignorant of the Lord's coming, and you just don't go around preaching, you just don't go around teaching, you just don't go around talking, singing about the Lord's coming because you choose to be personally and willfully ignorant. Amen. So you got those scoffers and they doubt His coming. I'm thinking about over in 2 Thessalonians, and I know that we're in the context. We're not taking anything out of context. Because He says in verse 1 of chapter 2, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the Lord coming. That you be not soon shaken in mind, neither troubled in spirit, or in word, nor by a letter from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, of that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that which I was yet, when I was yet with you, I told you these things. But now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now, I'm talking about the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And we have those scoffers that doubt whether he is going to ever come again, but I promise you he is. But then we have Satan. Satan don't doubt he's coming. Satan dreads his coming. Amen. That's what we read about there in 2 Thessalonians. The Bible's talking about the coming of the Lord. The Bible's talking about the falling away. The Bible's talking about the work of iniquity. The Bible's talking about that wicked one. That's talking about the Antichrist, or Satan, if you will. And we realize that the old devil, he dreads his coming. I can't say that I blame him. Amen. If I knew what was coming when he comes, and I was the devil, I'd be dreading it too. That word dread, it means an intense reluctance to face or meet a person or situation. That's him. The devil dreads his coming. And I can't blame him. Amen. I'm telling you that when Jesus comes, what we read to you there a minute ago, the Bible said the bright lights would expose him. The Bible said that Jesus is coming with the brightness of his coming. The devil's good at hiding, disguising, keeping himself in the background. And so much it goes on in the church world. It's the devil at work, but we blame somebody else. So much it's going on in the world. It's the devil at work, but we blame somebody else. But one of these days, Jesus is coming. The brightness of his coming is going to light up this whole world so much. There'll be no place for the devil to hide. The Bible said us feeble ministers that we are to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. But I can't expose it all. And all of us together can't expose it all. Oh, but thank God, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And when He comes, He's going to expose all the works of the devil. Amen. I say hallelujah. The devil dreads His coming because the brightness will expose Him. Hey, the devil dreads His coming because when He comes, the devil's going to be bound. He's had a lot of us bound over the years. Amen. He's still got some bound right now. Drugs, alcohol, things of the world. They're mentally bound. Some are financially bound because of their habits that they have. But one of these days, oh glory to God, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And when He comes, it ain't going to be us that's going to be bound. It's going to be the devil's going to be bound. And I tell you, no wonder he dreads his coming. Amen. I want you to know the Bible said that strong angel was going to come down, Revelations 20. And I'm glad he said that he was going to take a chain and he was going to bind that devil. Amen. He's going to bind him physically. He's going to bind him in the sense that he ain't going to be able to go up and down and in the earth like he did in the book of Job. He's going to be confined to that place where that strong angel is going to bind him. And I say, praise God. Amen. I'm glad that devil has bound so many. I'm glad there's coming a day when he's going to be bound, thank God. Can I tell you what? He dreads the coming of the Lord. He dreads the coming of the Lord. Don't you dread some things? You know, if you got an abscessed tooth, don't you dread going to the dentist? Don't you dread going to the doctor? Don't you dread doing your taxes every year? Don't you dread the IRS? A lot of things we dread. But we ain't never dreaded nothing like the devil's going to dread the coming of the Lord. Amen. I tell you, that's one person he don't want to see. He don't want to meet Jesus personally again. You say, why? He's met him before. And every time they met, Jesus always won the battle, thank God. I'm glad, listen, I'm glad that the old devil is a dreading. He don't like preaching on it. He don't like you talking about it. He don't like you singing about it. You say, why? Because it reminds him that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The brightness of his coming. He's going to bind Satan at his coming. But thank God he's going to burn him at his coming. Amen. They've been so many that he's cast into the lake of fire in hell because they followed him. Been so many that he's caused a trespass into a place that never was made for them. It was made for the devil and his angels. But the Bible said in Revelation 20 and verse 10, the Bible said that he was going to be cast into a lake of fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever. Amen. No wonder he dreads his coming. I would too. Amen. I'm talking about the coming of the Lord draw nigh. Scoffers doubt he's coming. Satan dreads his coming. But the Scriptures declare he's coming. Did you know that if there's anything in the Bible that is declared, it's that Jesus is going to come back to this world again. Did you know 1,845 references are made in your King James Bible to the coming of the Lord? A few years ago, I preached a long time on Sunday night about the coming of the Lord. In every book in the New Testament, except Philemon, and you could put it there, but you'd have to stretch it a little bit. But if this Bible says anything, this Bible says the Lord is coming again. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Amen. You say, where's that at? 2 Peter 3, I just didn't read far enough, down in verse 10. But it said, but the day of the Lord, it will come. I realize we're talking about the rapture, and we're talking about the revelation. But you can't have the revelation without the rapture. Amen. And thank God he's coming. What does the Bible say about us? We read it there in James. The Bible said, be patient. Be patient. Is your patience about run out? He's coming. The Bible said the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And the Bible said that you and I are to wait on the coming of the Lord. We're to wait on him. We're like somebody down at the bus stop waiting for the bus to come. We're like somebody down at the airport waiting for our flight to come in. You see, we do have a ride. We do have a ticket. We're just waiting for him. The world don't like us. And somebody, I think it was Briley yesterday morning, Briley said they were up on the square preaching Saturday. And he said, Brother Rick, he said, the world hates Jesus. I said, aren't they supposed to? Doesn't Jesus say, if they hated me, they'll hate you? He's right. They do. But what do? We're to be patient. We're to wait on the coming of the Lord. We're to watch. Watch. The Bible said in Mark 13:33, watch and pray, for you know not the time. For the Son of Man is as a man who took a journey into a far country. Left his house, to every man his work, commanded the porter to watch. Watch, for you know not the hour when our Lord doth come, whether at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch! He's coming! He's coming. Brother Rick, does that mean we go outside and just stand like this every day? No. We watch. Like I said, through the paper, I read something, he's coming. I watch through my Bible reading in the morning, he's coming. I watch as I look at world leaders and what they're doing and war and rumors of war and earthquakes and floods and all this, and I say, he's coming. He's coming. Listen, he said we're to wait, we're to watch, we're to work. Them old preachers, they used to ring the chains. Every time they got up, Jesus was coming. I remember as a young child, and every Sunday, my grandmother would fix big dinners for all the family. Afterwards, it was Max Ellen's mother who'd fix big dinners for all the family. I'm talking about homecoming dinners. I'm not talking about tuna fish sandwich. I'm talking about the table spread. And boy, you look forward to Sunday. If you didn't like the preaching, you liked the meal anyway, amen. And you knew if you hadn't eaten all week, you knew you was eating on Sunday. Because you was going to grandma's. I don't know what's happened. I think half the world needs to sell their kitchen table and their stove. You say why they don't use them no more. Amen. And we've lost a lot right there. I can't remember growing up of ever eating a meal that we didn't eat at the table. The table was a time. Table was a time when the family would gather around. And if you was like me and you had a bunch of sisters, and if you was like me, if anything happened at school that day that was bad, it's coming out at the table. I remember when I got caught smoking out behind the ag building. So what's the ag building? That's where everybody went to smoke. That's where you learned to smoke. And I went out there in the sixth grade, and I hadn't hardly got lit up good, and a hand reached through a broken window and lifted me up about a foot off the ground and said, "Young man, come around to the front." And I went around to the front, and I passed one of my buddies going around. He said, "Man, your reputation's runt, boy." He said, "You're runt." Said, "Everybody look at you, and you're just no good." That's how things have changed, folks. Don't tell me all things continue as they were. If you got caught chewing gum in school, if you got caught smoking, you was like John Dillinger. They took me down to the principal's office. I passed my sister Sheila on the way in the hall coming down. She says, "You wait till I tell Daddy." The principal whipped me, and then I had all that hanging on me all day. I got home, and she made me suffer. She didn't tell him as soon as we got home. And you're thinking, is she going to? Is she not going to? And then breakfast come. We went in there. You'd have to know my dad in those days. And my sister said, "Ricky got caught smoking yesterday out behind the ag building." My dad, sipping on coffee, my dad said, "What kind you smoke? I'll buy you a pack. I don't want none of this old slipping around stuff." Things have changed. Amen. Hey, we not only preach about it, teach about it, but we sing about the Lord's coming. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Jesus is coming soon. Kenny Calloway wrote that song. It's sung all across the United States by choirs. He's coming. He's coming. What about that midnight cry? I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. What about that song? I believe He's coming back just like He said. I believe that the trumpet's going to sound so loud someday He'll wake the dead. Amen. I'll tell you, we sang about it. Do we believe it? What about Terry here a little while, my brother Terry here? What about what a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. Amen. What about this could be the year we go home? I gather loved ones around the great throne. What about this? When Jesus comes to reward His servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to Him will He find us watching. What about this? Just any day now, our Lord is coming. I tell you, we sang about it. It's in this Bible. And James said, "The coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Amen. Listen, you'd have to believe this. You'd have to believe it's closer now than it was. Have to be. I heard a preacher the other day say it might be another 500 years. No, it won't. No, it won't. Somebody said nobody knows the hour or the day. What about the month? What about the year? Amen. What about that? I hear preachers all the time saying it might be another 300 years. Have you lost your mind? If it's 300 more years, there ain't going to be nothing left here to come back for. Somebody asked an old preacher, said, "You believe the church will have to go through the tribulation?" He studied a second. He said, "Well, most of it won't, because most of it's already in heaven now." Good answer. Amen. Thank God. I believe that probably is true. But the Scriptures declare He's coming. I'm talking about the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And scoffers doubt His coming. Satan dreads His coming. The Scriptures declare His coming, but the saints desire His coming. Revelations, John wrote that book, my chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, bloodshed, death, mark of the beast, antichrist, darkness, hell on earth. And old John, he's just about had it, man. You think about getting all that. And old John, he lays it down. And Lord, I just can't write no more. The Lord said, well, you can write this. Let me give you just a little more. You can write this. And he wrote the last verse. Revelations. And he said, surely I come quickly. And old John said, even so, Lord, come, Jesus. The saints desert. There's nothing so good down here right now that keep me wanting to go up there. I'm talking about the rapture. I'm talking about Jesus coming. The saints desired. Blessed thought. And Paul said, the grace of God that brought salvation teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said, that's a blessed hope. You say, I don't see it. You just ain't old enough. You say, I don't see it. You just ain't hurting enough. You say, I don't see it. You just ain't buried enough family members yet. I'll tell you, you reach a point. I understand young folks, you know, they're young, their life's set before them. Certainly understand all that and their thoughts about that. I understand that. But one thing about it, if you're saved, know the Lord. The further down the road you go, the more blessed that thought gets. Amen. You see, just a blessed thought to think about. You ever think about it? You ever drive down the road on a day like today and all at once it just dawns on you, this could be the day. You ever think about when the Lord comes? Your problems are over. Oh, you got a judgment seat to go through, but you are going to go through it. It ain't going to be to see if you're saved or lost. That's decided down here before you leave out. But it's just going to be about how you served Him. We all failed. We all failed. We've all come short. And we'll just have to toughen up and go through that judgment seat. But once we get through it and on the other side, our problems are over. Amen. No more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more cancer, no more heart attack, no more diabetes, no more blindness, no more eye problems, no more crippled, amen, no more heart attacks, no more heart trouble, no more circulation problems, no more doctor's visits, no more hospitals, no more nursing homes. I'm telling you, when He comes, our problems are over. You say that's pie in the sky. No, that's Bible in the book. We're going to get a brand new body. Amen. Billy Mitchell said nobody will have this hole in the top of their haircut. Somebody said, Billy, you think we'll look like we do down here? He said, would you really want to? I told a lot of people at the funeral home, walk up, you know, and the undertaker does a good job. You walk up and they say, don't they look good? A lot of times I'll say this. Yeah, they do look good, but they're going to look better next time you see them. Amen. Next time you see them. Amen. We're going to get a new body. I don't know about you, I need one. I don't have much to trade in. Thank God we ain't going to have to trade our old bodies in. He don't even want them. Let's bury them. But I'm glad, listen, going to get a brand new body. Arthritis, you know what that is? Just hang on, you will. No more over there. You know, it'd be like getting all your teeth pulled. You don't have to worry about them no more. We're going to get a new hair, new teeth, new body. Amen. Everybody will be perfect. You say, what's the perfect weight? I don't know, but that's what I'll be. What's the perfect age? I don't know, but that's what I'll be. One man said, man, I got 20/20 vision. I said, you're going to have better than that. I mean, 20/20 is good, but it ain't that good. Amen. David, you can jump that wheelchair. David's going to lead the march around the throne. Hey, he's out there holding them signs yesterday. Amen. And I told that guy, I said, if he can do it, he said, anybody can do it. And Brother Mike said, as you went by, David, I heard Brother Mike say, you laid you up some treasures today, buddy. Amen. I'm telling you, God was just stacking them up over there. Said, look at this. Amen. When Jesus comes. Oh, new body. We ain't even going to need Social Security. I do need it now and I want it. But I won't need it then. I paid it in, I want it back. I prayed at 61. I said, Lord, I'm about to turn 62. Please let me live long enough to draw every cent back that I put in. You say, Lord, you're going to do it? I don't know. You say, you pray about crazy things. You ought to pray about some crazy things. God might answer you, amen. You ever pray about how you're going to die? You pray about living, being a blessing while you're living. Do you ever pray about being a blessing when you die? The Lord help you die so you can be a witness. Lord help you die so you can be a blessing. I mean, there's all kinds of things to pray for. Amen. Brand new body. I don't wear muscle shirts now. You say, why? For one reason, I don't have no muscles. Just one big one out front here. But everybody up there is going to be a perfect specimen of what a man ought to be. Say, what about the women, Brother Rick? The Bible said there's going to be a time of silence up there. What the Bible said. I want you to know that the Bible said we desire it because we're going to get a new body. Blessed thought to think about it from time to time. But we're going to be with Him. We're going to be with Jesus. Sung about Him. Prayed to Him. Told others about Him. Man, I'm longing to see Him, ain't you? The Bible says we'll see Him as He is. Not as we think He is. But as He is. Scoffers doubt His coming. Satan dreads His coming. Scriptures declare His coming. Saints desire His coming. Sinners are doomed at His coming. They're doomed. Hebrews 10:31. Let me read a little bit of that. I'm on the red ribbon, so you ought to be happy. That means I'm fixing to stop. I'm over in Hebrews. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You say, what's that mean? Well, Jesus Christ died and paid for your sins. And if you don't want that, there ain't nothing else. But a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses of how much sore punishment suppose you shall be thought worthy of those who have trod underfoot the Son of God and had counted the blood and the covenant wherewith they were sanctified an unholy thing, and hath the done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You say, what's that mean? That means you know you need to get saved. Jesus is the Savior, and you won't receive it. You reject the truth. You say, I don't want that. I want some other way. There is no other way. He said, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You see, one of these days, if you reject the Lord, keep on rejecting the Lord, keep on discounting it, it's nothing important. One of these days, you're going to fall into his hands. I can't think of anything worse. I can't think of anything better than to be alive when Jesus comes. I can't think of anything worse than to be lost when Jesus comes. You say, why? You've got to face him. I'm sure you've had situations down through life where you had to face somebody. You did them wrong or something. You had to face them. Bad. But think about facing him. The Bible said in Revelation 6 and 16, the Bible said they cried for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Why? To hide them from the face of him. They'd rather go to hell and have to face him. Rather be under a mountain and have to face him. And then to have to flee from him. All right, now we can sing, come unto me. Come unto me. Right now Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. If I'm meek, lowly in heart, you shall find rest for your souls. But you see, when Jesus comes, the sinner's doomed. You say, why? Because they're going to have to flee from him. Matthew 25:41, the Bible said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Cast them into the lake of fire. Burns with fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever. This morning you can come to him. But if Jesus comes, you're going to have to flee from him. You say, I'll get saved when Jesus comes. It's of my belief you can't. If you hear the gospel, know the truth, and you reject it now, God will send you a strong delusion. You'll say, here, Antichrist, put that mark right here, and you just follow him. Amen. Well, verse 8, James 5. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I dream that the great judgment morning had come, and the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. It's not too late this morning. Saints, you and I need to be delighted just to thinking of what the Bible said. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning. Thank you for the Holy Spirit.